looking at the third verse, but as has sort of been our pattern, we stand together and we read it together because you really have to take the 23rd Psalm all at once. And so we'll focus on the third verse, but please stand with me. And if you have it before you, and this is, if you're ever going to remember, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Memorize. If you're ever going to memorize a psalm, this is the one to memorize. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, these words are so sweet and so precious and assuring to us. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the promises that are there that we can hold on to, Lord, in the times in which we need them the most. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did love us so much. You gave your very life for us, and you are the good shepherd. And you will lead us eventually through this life and eventually home to God. And so, Father, I just pray that during this time that we consider this psalm again this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would take control of my heart, my mind, my mouth. And, Lord, that I would only say those things that are pleasing to you. I'm a sinner saved by your grace. And I need to speak, but also hear myself. And so come and bless us during this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is the verse we're really focusing on today. How many of you have ever said, of course, we've all said this, I feel like I'm just going around in circles. I think we've all said, you know, it's an expression of frustration when we feel ourselves in a rut and as if we're making no progress at all. I feel like I'm just going around in circles. You can feel like you're going around in circles with all kinds of things. Maybe you have even been doing that some this week. You can feel that way with relationships. The more you try to make positive progress, it just feels as if you're getting nowhere. It can feel that way with your finances. You can make a plan, you can work a plan, and yet you perceive yourself to just be right back where you started. Going in circles. You can feel as if you're going in circles with your career. You know, just when you seem to make some headway, there it is again. It feels like you're covering the same ground over and over again. Circling by nature feels negative. And oftentimes it is. Destructive patterns in your life can resurface to your discouragement. Going in circles, you can lose 8 pounds in 1 month and then gain them all back the next. You can conquer addictions one day and then they're back the next. You make some progress only to feel like you're back where you started. I'm just going in circles. And you can also feel this way in your spiritual life as well. You start out with excitement and enthusiasm to follow Christ and to give your life to this new way of living, and you're determined to follow God in faith rather than fear, you start to lean more on His Word, and you pray daily for guidance and direction. You attend worship with a sense of expectancy and joy, and it's all going great, and then circumstances change and all of a sudden cause you to doubt. And there's that circle again. The same struggles with sin return. The same sense of guilt pervades. And you forget the gospel and you start to wonder, am I a believer at all? Has God left me? And you become disheartened and fearful all over again, just like you're going in circles. Now, I suspect that many of you can get this. David experienced this. David had to feel this way at times in his life when you think about it. You know, one day he's being anointed by Samuel the prophet to be Israel's next king. The next thing, he's in the wilderness hiding from Saul in a cave. One day he's writing and singing psalms like the one that we just have before us, songs of praise. And the next thing, he's being confronted by Nathan the prophet for adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. One day he's on the throne in Jerusalem. The next day he's running for his life, being pursued by his own rebellious son, Absalom. There had to be times in David's life when he just felt like he was going in circles, getting nowhere. And yet we know the story. We can see it. We know that God made promises to David, put his blessing upon David, and we know that he was with him through all of that mess, through all of those ups and all of those downs. And the same thing is true of you and me. God is with us in all the circling. Now, how are the people of God supposed to think when it feels as if we're going around in circles? Well, this verse out of Psalm 23 is helpful. When I went to seminary, you have to study the original languages, Greek and Hebrew, and the idea is that you'll keep that all up throughout your career so that you're kind of, you know, good at it. I tried for a while, but sometimes I feel like I've forgotten more than I actually learned to begin with, but I still know how to go in and parse and look at some words. And I was looking at this, this verse, and I'm thinking there's some loaded words there I need some help with. So I looked at the original language on it. He leads me in paths of righteousness. In the Hebrew, he leads me. The word for leads me, the Hebrew root is nohan. He leads me. It means to guide, to conduct, to lead. He leads me, guides me in paths of. The word path in Hebrew is mahgoli, which means, it means numerous things. It can mean a path, a way. It can at times even denote literally a circular path. So that when you kind of put these ideas together, you come up with a translation like, he's guiding me in rounds of righteousness for his name's sake. He's guiding me in the round. Now, see, remember that we've already said David was a shepherd, and so the analogy that's driving this whole psalm is shepherding. And so David is thinking about shepherding. I don't know anything about sheep or about shepherding, just only the things that I've read. And we've already said before that one of the main jobs of a shepherd is to protect his sheep and is to make sure that they get fed and make sure that they are healthy. And I read that, you know, sheep are habitual creatures. And so simple things like taking them out to eat can be difficult for the shepherd. I read that, for example, when sheep go out on their own, They tend to walk the same paths that they walked the day before. They tend to graze the same areas that they grazed before. And they do it over and over and over again until the literally where grass was, it becomes ruts. And instead of grass, it's nothing but dirt. I read that if you leave a flock of sheep out by themselves, they can just devour a field. And so a shepherd has to kind of think about this. He has to move his sheep at least every week to new grass. And in my mind, I'm always thinking, well, he just takes them to another field or he goes to another mountainside. Not necessarily. A shepherd may have his own field. And what he would do is he'll put his sheep in the middle of that field. And then when it is time to take them out to graze, he will take them out and he will lead them. He will lead them in the round. They will start in ever-expanding circles away from the center, week by week by week by week. And then this way, the sheep are always having fresh grass to eat. And then the grass that they ate the week before has a time to come back and regrow. And so he leads them in the round. I think that's sort of the picture that we're being given here. But, you know, sheep, they don't like to change their habits. They don't like to get out of their comfort zone. And so the shepherd literally has to lead them to do this. He's guiding me in rounds of. Now, I think that that's should be an encouragement to us. God is guiding you even when it feels as if you're going in circles. And even if you are going in circles, there's a purpose and design in it. He's moving you out of your comfort zone into new places where you can be nourished and grow. Think of all the scriptures that describe us as sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, his own rut. That's our nature. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. If you find yourself going around in circles today, that may not be a bad thing. Because some of you may have been, and I've been there, I've definitely been there, in those destructive cycles. You find yourself in destructive cycles and you didn't even know it. The ruts. You find yourself doing the same things over and over again, and you're hurting yourself and you're hurting others around you. And you want to change. You just can't help yourself. And you couldn't even if you wanted to. Only a loving shepherd knows how to lead us out of the rut and out of those habits into ever-expanding circles. Some of you have become discouraged of late. I get that. The circling in your life has left you disheartened. You feel a sense of unrest and discomfort in the way that things are. The good shepherd, our good shepherd, is nourishing us. He is guiding us. He is protecting us, even within the circling, despite how you feel. God is guiding you in rounds of righteousness, this verse says. I mean, even though you may try to resist him. I don't know anything about sheep, and I don't really know a lot about animals like horses, but sheep are not the only creatures that need training and need to be led around. My daughter, Janie, and her husband, Eric, live in Alpharetta, and they have a beautiful home up there, and there are a lot of horse, stables and stuff like that out there, and you know, in front of their house, right across the street from their house, there are these horse stables and train where they train horses. And so when we were there during COVID and stuff, I would go outside and just watched to see what they were doing. And I'm not a big horse person or horse rider or anything like that, but I would notice things. Like they had this ring, and, you know, and they would bring these young horses out, and they would walk them around the ring. Or what was interesting to me is the trainer would come out into an open field right in front, and they would have a bridle on the horse and a long rein sort of attached to it, and then they would walk and slowly begin to maybe sometimes run them, gallop them in a circle. Have you ever seen that, where the trainer's in the middle of the ring doing this over and over and over again? I just thought, what? Why do they do that? So, you know, I was curious. I thought, you know, the internet, you can find anything. So I looked it up. It's a real thing. It's called circle training. And it's among one of the most important and difficult exercises for a young horse to learn. I mean, because if you think about it, in the wild, horses, they do certain things. They bolt, they go running, you know, in straight lines. Sometimes as a pack, they'll go to the right, they'll go to the left, they'll jump over streams and rivers. In the wild, they'll do all that sort of stuff. But in the wild, they don't circle. They don't run in circles. They just bolt straight ahead. And so what they do is with the circle training, the trainer is doing something very special with the animal. For one, it's establishing a relationship with this horse, and also is establishing authority. Who has the authority here in this relationship? But also serves a practical purpose. And that is, and I've seen this, I guess, on cowboy movies and stuff, I just never noticed, that when someone goes to mount a horse, they'll grab the side of the horse and they'll bring it into a circle as they mount the horse. And they bring them into a circle because otherwise, if they take off and go straight ahead, they're going to go straight off without you. But this training of going in circles begins to become part of that whole riding experience. And furthermore, if he does bolt off and take off with you on it, circling is how you bring the horse to a halt. You bring him into a tight circle. And so it's very difficult. Horses don't like this. When they're training, they'll actually try to lean out of the circle. You can see them. They don't like it. They're having to shorten their gait on the inside, lengthen it on the outside. They're using muscles they've never used before. They don't like it. But the training is necessary in order to get the rider to go with the horse. You know, I was thinking about that. That's just an interesting picture to me. If you feel as if you're going in circles, you may be under God's circle training. He's guiding you in rounds of righteousness for his name's sake. God is conforming you to his will and to his ways. And he's doing it through his word and through the power of his spirit at work in your life. You and I were being trained in the round. God does it by his spirit. I was thinking about one of the interesting passages of Scripture, John 14-16, is when Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's telling them that he's going to be going to Jerusalem and he's speaking about his own death. And he says something interesting to them, that when he said he was going to be bodily no longer with his disciples, they became disheartened, and understandably. But Jesus said, no, I have to go. You understand, I have to go, because when I go, the Holy Spirit will come back and dwell within you. And to me, one of the most encouraging passages is John 14-16, those chapters, when Jesus describes what the work of Jesus through his Holy Spirit is going to be in our lives. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Counselor. In 15:26, the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. Jesus said he'll remind you when I'm gone of all the things that I've said and the teachings that I've given. These will come back to you through the Spirit. Jesus said that the Spirit would convict them of sin in their life and convince them of righteousness. And we know now of the righteousness that can be found in Christ alone. Jesus promised his disciples that the Spirit would guide them into all truth and bring them to himself through those who follow him. That's John 14-16. You can see all this list. In short, I think Jesus is saying that through the Holy Spirit, he was not going to leave his disciples. Through the Holy Spirit, he was not going to leave you or me. Through the Holy Spirit, he was going to be at work within us. He would serve as the trainer in the center of the training circle, bringing you and me to trust, greater trust, a greater sense of his authority in our life, greater submission. And when I thought about this, I just thought, you know, I'm like the horse always trying to lean out of the circle. God's trying to lead me in paths of righteousness. By nature, I don't like that. It's uncomfortable. I'm trying to resist that, but that is the training that you and I are going through and must go through, because our Savior is bringing us to a place of rest and safety so that we can be conformed more and more to his image. God is training us in paths of rounds of righteousness, this verse says, for his name's sake. I looked at different commentators on this, and for his name's sake, commentators have different suggestions of what they think that David means by for his name's sake. One has suggested that for his name, John Calvin suggests that we're being trained in the round out of regard for God's perfections. And I think what he means is that God is training us so that we will reflect him in all that we say and all that we do. Others suggest that his name's sake means it's for our welfare. God has given us his laws and his righteous decrees, and if we will follow those things, those will lead us to a happy and fruitful life for his name's sake. I think of all the commentators I looked at, I like Matthew Henry's the best, the Puritan Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry says, for his name's sake simply means that he trains us because we are his. I love that. He trains us because we are his. When a shepherd purchases a sheep, he'll oftentimes, or in the old times, he would put a mark on the ear, a distinct mark on the ear of the sheep so that he could identify his own sheep. And they did the same thing with animals or branded. I don't know if they do that anymore, but horses were branded, cattle were branded. Now they put chips in animals that identify them with the owner. Here David, who himself was once a shepherd, remember, gives us this idea that we're trained in righteousness so that we will always bear the mark of our loving shepherd, our loving, for his name's sake. I mean, this is interesting when you start thinking about it. When you feel as if you're going around in circles, especially spiritually, I mean, it can be so discouraging. It can be very frustrating. It can cause all kinds of questions in your mind. You know, when one day it seems like you're growing and maturing, the next day you're reverting back to those old patterns again, and you become depressed, and you become discouraged, even to the point of doubting your own salvation. You wonder, am I the sheep of God at all? See, Satan loves for you to have those kinds of doubts in your mind all the time. But see, you need to realize that when you feel that way, when one day you feel like you're walking, the next day you're going, what have I just done? That back and forth, you need to realize that that is actually a sign that you are being trained in the round. If you were not God's sheep, you wouldn't care. You would be apathetic. You would be bolting like a wild horse straight away from God without any care at all about what your relationship is to Him. But the fact that you have that, you feel that disappointment, that gnawing sense of sort of pulling against the reins of your trainer, that sudden feeling, you know, as if you're running wild in circles, that's all evidence that you are a child of God, being trained. You belong to your good shepherd. You have been born and bred of Christ. You have been marked with the very blood of Christ on your soul. And now you are someone who exists for His name's sake. Not to live for yourself, but to live for Him. You know, maybe this is all about figuring out who you are again. You're not lost. You're never lost if you are trusting in Christ. If you put your trust in your own righteousness and in your own truth, you're just like a wild horse running free. But when you look to Christ, God who loved us so much, He sent His Son into the world to die on the cross for you and for me, and you put your faith and hope in His sacrifice so that your sins can be forgiven, you can be cleansed and wrapped in the robe of the Good Shepherd, then you're never lost. And you're never running in circles untethered to your trainer. Christ, the trainer, has us in His authority, in His hand. What do you say? All that the Father has given me, no one will snatch them out of my Father's hands. I mean, maybe being taken out of your comfort zone to fresh pasture. You're being trained for His name's sake because you're His. In Psalm 31:3, David prayed, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." In Psalm 119, he declared, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." You're never lost when you're His, even when you're circling. God is training you in the round by His Word, through His Word, by His Spirit. And thus, the ruts of life that you feel at times you're in are really rounds of righteousness for His glory and for His name's sake. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we resonate with all of this, Lord, because we see ourselves, when we see ourselves rightly, Lord, we're just like sheep. Left alone to ourselves, Lord, we'll just ruin a pasture. And Lord, maybe someone here today is just in this rut. Lord, we all need you. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We don't want to be trained. But Lord, we need your love, your power, your authority in our life. Help us to submit to you. And Lord, help us to even look at the circumstances of our life where we've thought, where's God in this? That Lord, you are moving us to ever greater circles in our life, Lord, to discover new things that we might grow and we might mature and we might please you. Father, I pray that you would take these words and that you would apply them into our life, Lord, in the best way that they can be applied. And we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.